evening. And Lord, I want to pray that you'd order these words, that you'd bring your words of life. Lord, thank you for the things that are on your heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd release them to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is a happening. It will fulfill the purpose which it was sent. It brings life. It tears down and divides. It brings your hope and your goodness. We pray this evening, Lord, that you just release that now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it's one of these days today where you kind of write a talk, you prepare a talk, and you begin to think that you know what you're meant to be saying. And as you begin to think about it, it begins to become less and less what you think it was in the first place. So I'm going to have a go at saying what I think the Lord's saying. And if he's not, well, sorry about that. I believe the Lord wants to release his living water. I believe the Lord wants to bring his life. I believe the Lord wants to release his spirit. I believe the Lord wants to release his word. And for some of us, the Lord wants to release us into a new place. A friend of mine had been away over Christmas. He'd been away with his family, and they'd been away to, I'm not quite sure what country it was, but he was with his sister and his family. And his sister has got four children, very little ones. And in this place they're staying, there's a swimming pool. And when they first arrived, the little children were absolutely terrified of the water. And every time they were led out to get into the water, they didn't want to go in at all. They're absolutely worried, sick of all this. But over, within a short period of time, the little children were then led into the water. And by the end of the holiday, they couldn't get them out of the water. And I believe the Lord wants us to get into the water. And for some of us, we think, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. I can't do this. But you see, when you get in to the water, you won't want to get out of it. Because it's the living water. It's the water that brings life. In Ezekiel 47, there's a picture of the restored temple. And it's a prophecy that Ezekiel preaches to a nation that is far from where the nation, the temple had been razed to the ground. And the people had never thought that there would be any such thing as a restored temple. But the vision that Ezekiel had was a restored temple. And you see, when the temple was restored, the living water came. See, God is going to restore his temple. In Isaiah 43, it says this: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And you see, the Lord is going to be doing and is raising up a new thing. It's going to spring up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way. The Lord will provide water in the desert, streams in the wasteland, drink to my chosen people, that they may proclaim my praise. And it talks about not. And I believe the Lord is leading us as a church, not into a new season, but into a new era. The old is gone, the new has come. Do you not perceive it? So if you want to turn with me to Isaiah 55, it's the invitation that we've been talking about at the beginning. It's one that Rob set up very, very well. And it's God's invitation to all of us. Isaiah 55, I'm not sure what page it is in the red books. 742, there you go. And the opening words are this: come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. And so the invitation that God puts before all of us, to both the Jew, to the Gentile, there's no distinction, that God's invitation is to you and to me. It's a universal invitation to the grace and provision of God. To be thirsty implies that we need water. And a continued absence of water, we perish. And if any of us were travelling through the desert and we had no water for a number of days, it wouldn't take long for us to perish, probably to faint, and then eventually we'd be able to go on no further. Because when the water runs out, we run out. In the same way, on a life raft at sea, you might have a lot of water around you, but without fresh water, your days are numbered. And in John 4, we have the story of the woman at the well. If you want to turn with me to that very briefly, I'm going to kind of fly through this, so some of it will be picked up as you... And here we have the story of Jesus, who was going through the desert, and he comes to Jacob's well. And when he comes to the well, he meets a Samaritan woman. And says this: when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." And so we see Jesus at the well with the lady, the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman knew on a basic level that she needed water, so day by day she would make her journey out towards a well in order to provide water probably for her community. She was a woman who had, Jesus pointed out that she had five husbands, so I don't quite know who the water would exactly be going to, but have been on a daily basis going to the well in order to draw the water. In coming to the well, she was unexpected that God was going to intervene into her life. She thought that by coming to the well, she would get the water, it would revive her, it would give her what she needed for the daily intake of water. But that's all she knew. But when she met Jesus, everything changed. Jesus asked her, "Will you give me a drink?" And the Samaritan woman said to him, how can you ask me for drink? You know, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you know, we do not associate with each other." And so Jesus, in his encounter with her, breaks all the norms of society. He wants to break into her life, into her world, and provide revelation of who he is and why he came. And so he says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" She was quite insulted by this, but then Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And then the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with." And he says, well, you know, so eventually she draws the water. And Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again." And so what did Jesus do to this woman? He showed her where to find living water. Springs that would well into eternal life. Water that would never run out. He goes on further in the at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the Harvest Festival. He stood up before the people and in a loud voice he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And so the invitation is to come to Jesus, the source of living water. The invitation is to those who do not have. Come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So the invitation is to those, to each one of us. You know, it doesn't matter, we come here with nothing. But the invitation is living water. You have no money, but come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, and without money, and without cost. And you see, Jesus doesn't just provide the living water. He provides wine, he provides milk, he provides resources far above the first invitation. The water restores. The milk and the wine are rich fare. They're things that are going to build us up. They're resources which are greater than the first initial invitation. Then it goes on to say, why spend money where it's not bread and your labour in what does not satisfy? And you see, there's a distinction between those things that satisfy and those things that don't. It's like the distinction between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And there's so many things that we can get caught up in, isn't it? They don't really lead too much in our lives, do they? They're not satisfying. But the Lord is saying to this, come to me. Come to the living waters. Come to the one who satisfies. And he says this, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, that your soul may live. And it's really interesting when you begin to think about it, is that God wants us to take time to listen to him. It's as we come to him, he says, listen to me, give ear to me, come to me, hear me. How often do we do that? How often do I do that? The living water comes when we take time to spend with God. And in the story of Mary and Martha, Martha was always busy, wasn't she? Do you remember the story? Jesus round Mary and Martha's house. And Martha says, Martha, Martha, Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And you see, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world is very different, isn't it? The world is just so full of busyness, isn't it? It's exhausting just thinking about what we have to do next week, isn't it? I don't know about you. When do we take time to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to me, to give ear and come to me, to hear me, that your soul may live? When do we take time to sit at Jesus' feet, the one who invites us to his living water? It says in Ecclesiastes, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. And the problem in the world we live in is we're defined by what we do, aren't we? And you see, the Lord wants to give us rest. The Lord wants to restore us. The Lord wants to give us life. The Lord wants to invite us. He invites us into living a different way of life, a different way from that of the world. It involves waiting on the King. It involves waiting in his presence. It involves waiting to hear what he has to say and then doing it. And it's in the waiting that the Lord gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. It is in waiting that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's in the waiting that we will soar on wings like eagles. It is in the waiting that we will run and not grow weary. It's in the waiting that we will walk and not be faint. And it's the invitation, like the woman at the well, to sit at the one who provides the water, the living water. It's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? Because it goes against everything the society would say to us. If I said for the next month, I'm just going to wait on God, I'll see you next month, what would you say? Oh gosh, we're paying in this? Oh gosh. Oh, we can't do that. That's what it is. And I'm going to skip a bit here and go on to verse 6, which is about seeking the Lord, calling on Him while He is near. See, we live in a season between the now, between when God one day will return and He'll restore everything as He intended it to. And we live in a period of time where we can seek God, we can seek His face. And God's invitation is to seek the Lord where He may be found, to call on Him while He is near. He goes on to say, let us turn to the Lord and He'll have mercy on Him or on us. And to God, for He will freely pardon. And so God's invitation is into His presence. God's invitation is to call upon the name of the Lord. God's invitation is to come close to Him. In order to come close to God, we need to turn from the things in our lives which are against God's ways. But God's wonderful invitation that is, He will have mercy upon us, He will freely pardon us, and He will invite us in to the things of God. And the things of God, as I'm beginning to find more and more, are very, very different to my thoughts and understandings. It says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are harder than the earth, so my ways harder than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, when I read this, it really is challenging, isn't it? That God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than the heavens, above our ways and thoughts. I remember a little ditty that I use for myself, and I'm sure I've said this a number of times. You see, God has a plan for your life, and so does everyone else. God has a plan for His church, and so does everyone else. And what I've noticed in my life is that I have got not a clue in how God's ways work. The moment I try and second guess who God is and what He's about, I completely miss it. I'll give an example. About 3 years ago, Catherine and I were, I was working in the church up in Stevenage, which is kind of about 20 miles north of London. It was the Christmas period of time. I think it was New Year's Eve, and we were down, my mum and dad live in Hammersmith, and there's a lovely place where you can walk up to the river. And it was on New Year's Eve, and we went up there to meet some friends. And there's a bridge in Hammersmith called Hammersmith Bridge, which kind of oversees the Thames. And Kath and I have been married for about 6 years, nearly 6 years now, but at the time we'd been married a few years, which was probably about two or three, I can't remember now. But we're standing on that bridge at about 11:45 at night, looking over London. And we really felt, since we've been married, the Lord has called us to the city. We really believed the Lord had called us to minister in the city. And so we stood on Hammersmith Bridge, overlooking London, and saying to Jesus, Lord, here we are. We're here to serve You in the city. And so he prayed and said, Lord, you know, we really want to do what you've called us to do. And so he said that prayer and thought, you know, not quite sure what's going to happen next. So over the period of that next year, I was looking to find what God was calling us to do and where we were meant to be moving on to, because I was a curate at the time and we're looking for a new job. And so shortly after praying that prayer, I found out a job advert for a church, which is about half a mile from that bridge where we prayed. And so we thought, city, church, great opportunity. So we went along to the church, went through an interview process. We got down to the last three. Really liked the church, really liked the guys running the church, really excited about what they're doing and all that sort of stuff. Eventually got down to the last one and didn't get the job. Thought, whoa, that's a bit strange. And the guy who was running the church said, you know, John, I'd like you to be here, but I just can't sleep. I just for some reason, I know this is not right. And so I thought, so we're meant to be called to the city, so that's not right. We're around the corner, there's another church that a position came available. Went along to the church, chatted with the guy who was running the church, got invited back for another interview. And by the end of it, he pretty much wanted to give us a job, but we felt it wasn't right. So I phoned him up and said, you know, I'm sorry for not wasting your time, but we just felt that it wasn't the right place to go. So he thought, gosh, so we've been called to the city, and we still haven't got a job. Then we found another church just around the corner, so there's three of them within about a mile of each other, and we applied for that, and they weren't the slightest bit interested. So that's a really weird thing. So we thought, we've been called to the city, we prayed to be called to the city, and then a few months later, the job came up for coming over to Ireland, to Dublin, to the city. And I won't go into a long process of how it all works itself out and everything. But suddenly we realized that the city we had looked for was the wrong city. God had called us to a city, but it wasn't the one we had imagined or the one we had planned in our mind. You see, God's ways are not our ways. You can't second guess God. And I find that more and more and more. And you see, what the Lord is calling us to is to wait on Him. To take the time to listen to Him. Because His invitation is to give us living water. His invitation is to give us wine and milk. To give us the resources. His invitation is to be satisfied. Not in the ways of the world, but in His ways. His invitation is to seek Him while He may be found. His invitation is to call upon the Lord. His invitation is to enter into His ways. And that for me is a new way of doing things. In many respects, isn't it? I think we need to wait on the Lord, don't you? Just stand. Thank you, Lord. Longing to invite us to the living water. So Lord, I just pray now you just release your living water upon us. Lord, those who are thirsty, those who are weary, those who find themselves in a place of desert, let it come now, Lord. And it's just where you're standing is to just shut your eyes and just to welcome the Lord into your heart. It's like God is giving the invitation, and you have to, it's like we respond to the invitation by welcoming it. And so, Lord Jesus, we want to welcome you. Increase that now, Lord. Increase that now, Lord. So I'm going to ask the band to come up here and play a song. I'm also going to invite the ministry team to come forward to be to pray. And I just want to invite people to come forward so that we can pray. And I just really believe that God wants to impart His living water to different people for different reasons. And the invitation is, come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And it's an invitation.
Fountain, your heart in.